Hi, I'm Nick Troch, ISV Developer Evangelist in Microsoft Belux, part of the Developer and Platform Evangelism team here in Belgium. What do we do in the, what we call DPE team? So our role is to go out on the streets and shout out how good our products are, what you can do with them, what's coming in the next year, 2, 3, 5 years. Ahead, and for partners then specifically, because I'm targeting ISVs, independent software vendors, how we can align our roadmap with an ISV's roadmap or a partner's roadmap and see where we can align, where we can actually benefit from each other in going forward with the Microsoft platform. So that's what I'm doing. Today's session, I'm going to try to keep it short because we're, I think, all somewhat fatigued from all this content of today. What I'm going to touch today is how you can actually build applications on the Windows platform that take advantage of multi-touch. So what is it? What can you do with what basically is multi-touch? What are the capabilities offered to you by the platform? Going to dive a bit into different touch data modes. So how is touch and touch events being propagated to your application? So if you're building an application, how can you actually capture that something that your application is being touched by someone, by a user? Having gone through the basics, I'm going to dive into what are your options as a developer. So what are the technologies, what are the platforms that you can use for building your applications and to take advantage of touch and multi-touch on Windows. And then finally, just a quick slide on a couple of UX user experience, so UX user experience guidelines for building touch applications. So one part is how do you technically enable touch for your application, very important, probably more important than the technical side is user experience side of building applications that are touch friendly, touch optimized. So what is multi-touch? Basically, multi-touch is an abstraction from the platform to route touch information that it receives from a user touching the device. To route that information to your application. So making your application aware that your application has been touched. And then that is basically touch. How do we define multi-touch? Is basically that two or more independently traceable touch points can be captured, can be tracked. So important here is two or more. So you can use two fingers, two toes, whatever. You want to use to touch your application or more, so we can go beyond two touch points. But then also important is that we can track them independently, so that they can actually move independently from each other to actually touch the device, and you can track them individually. So depending on your hardware, more or less touch points can be used or can be supported. Now, multi-touch. How did we get there? How did we get to this multi-touch? It's all around here. What we see is that from the hardware side, more and more devices become multi-touch enabled, support touch and multi-touch capabilities. So we see a whole range of devices that that allow you to have multi-touch support. One of them is as you can see, not an iPad, but it's basically a tablet. It's an Asus device that is a tablet device on which runs Windows 7. So it's a familiar developer platform. It's familiar for IT professionals to integrate it, for example, in your IT infrastructure in terms of security, et cetera, and manageability. So we see more and more devices coming to the market. Be it tablets, be it laptops that have touch screens, be it separate touch screens, etc., etc. So we see those actually coming to market. And in terms of software, Microsoft has been in touch and touch capabilities for quite some time. So we, I think since Windows XP, we have what we know Windows XP tablet edition, where you were able to actually use a stylus, a pen, to write on the screen of your laptop. That was touch, but single touch, actually. So we have been in touch awareness for quite some time now. But what we're seeing is that with Windows 7 and then especially also the .NET framework, the platform is actually supporting that entirely, that multi-touch functionality, to an extent that you can really use it easily to build applications that are multi-touch aware and that support that model. And then from the consumer side, what we're seeing is, and credits to our competitors, to the fruit company, that basically they have come up with nice devices, fancy-looking devices. They have created this awareness that new scenarios are possible for users, that they can actually go and roam and walk wherever they want and have their device with them that is connected, that allows to work, actually, to some extent. And then basically, and that design, that nice design, the slick design has also moved into an experience where consumers want to have this wow effect, where they want to brag with the device they have and what they can do with it. What we often see is, just to name them, iPads coming into board meetings, where the manager uses the iPad basically to put his notebook on and write his notes. But just the fact of having the Apple with him gives him some kind of status. This whole experience of being touch enabled, maybe not always to the full extent using that touch enablement, but that's where we're heading to. So the market is actually ready and asking for this multi-touch and this experience. Now, from a historical perspective, so where have we come from? I've already mentioned this XP and tablet edition. A keyboard. Basically, the very early experience of multi-touch, you may say multi-touch, actually if you're using Control-Alt-Delete, it's basically a three-touch point multi-touch experience. Using the Shift key with some other key, you actually have some multi-touch experience. So conceptually, we have had some multi-touch for quite some while. But if you then look into some examples, actually, in 1972, IBM came with the Plato machine that actually had a touch screen. So it had real touch, although single touch capabilities, but there was actually touch screens available in 1972, which is quite some time ago. This then evolved. There were a lot of research projects. There were some other kind of form factors, if you can already call them form factors, but actually moving into more commercial solutions built by Wacom, the Japanese company, that actually build devices allowing you to draw on them, use a pen and write on them. So basically the early days of a tablet PC. So then in 2001, we had a XP with its tablet edition, where you actually had a really commercial and broad availability of touch to consumers. But then 2006, actually the plastic logic, the Kindle type of devices. So we've gone actually through quite some evolutions, moving to, just maybe leave it there for a while. So we have Apple with the iPhone, actually introduced, basically was the very first really big commercial kind of enablement of the touch experience to consumers with iPhone, and then following iPad. And then in 2007 also, Microsoft came with the first version of the Microsoft Surface device, which is actually a big table. That is touch enabled, that supports 256 touch points. So you can actually stand with like 25 people with all their fingers touching the screen, independently tracking all of those touch points. And that was a device. So in 2007, you had real multi-touch enablement. A device that was based on Windows Vista. So underneath the shell, the Surface shell, there's Windows Vista. And with this year, what we're expecting is now the next release of the Surface, which will be smaller in terms of, it's not a big table anymore. It's rather a small table, somewhat 10 centimeters thick, which will be based on Windows 7, which will support even more touch points using a completely different technology for touch, yeah, where every single pixel actually will represent a single touch point. Yeah. We're actually taking that to the real next level. Yeah. And then finally, what we're moving to is the like zero-touch experience. So we're moving from, well, multi-touch, actually single-touch, moving into like multi-touch. We're now with the Kinect experience. Kind of wanted to mention that here. Two experiences where we actually have, and this is something to think about, there's business scenarios where you can integrate the Kinect into where you have the zero-touch experience. Yeah. So first examples that we see is in healthcare, where we have partners that are looking to use a Kinect in the operation room, allowing a surgeon to navigate through medical images while he's kind of, put it bluntly, digging in the patient. actually can browse through the medical images, actually zoom into the those image files to look, get more details without having to physically touch and work with bleeding fingers on a device. Is that what you're seeing? So the potential there is actually pretty huge. Yeah. Now, touch scenarios. So what do we typically see as scenarios, user scenarios for touch? And I've listed a couple of them there. But what you see is all of them are actually focused on consumption of data. So this is something to really take into mind. Scenarios for touch are very often driven by consuming. Devices typically are very good at presenting data rather than capturing data, which is very often more difficult. And that's where the user experience comes really into play. It's consumption of data, so reading data, the device and the applications really support very well. However, when we go to data entry, filling in not just a username or a customer name, but filling in address, filling in actual details of a specific insurance policy, it's not very handy to do that on a touchscreen. So you need to think about ways to be able to capture data, do data input in a user in an efficient manner, because it is not easy typing on an on-screen keyboard. It's not that efficient than using a physical keyboard. People are actually used to for like a decade. So that's something to really think about and maybe have some help there by user experience consultants that can help you defining that user experience in an optimized way. So looking at what is provided by the operating system and our platform. At the basis, we have a development platform that really takes the low level, the events that happen on the device and translates them in APIs available to you to build your applications on. So you have a whole set of touch APIs, and we'll go a little bit further on that. Whether you're using native code, so C++, or you're using managed code, be it C#, be it Silverlight, whatever, we have a set of APIs available to you to take advantage of that touch capability and use your device and use the capabilities of your device in your application. In terms of UI enhancements, and this kind of goes into Windows 7, we have actually adapted or added user friendliness to the operating system to enhance the experience for the user that uses touch to interact with the operating system. And that kind of links with what we call gestures. So we have added a set of standard gestures inside the operating system that come to you as an application developer for free. So if you have an application built for Windows Windows 7, you port it, you take it on a touch-enabled device. Actually, that application runs as is, but it takes already into account it can use the standard gestures that exist in the operating system. So be it for scrolling, be it panning, so a number of standard gestures. If you have zooming functionality in your application, you can use that. Those gestures are intercepted, are interpreted by the operating system automatically. And then finally, some applications already have a touch-optimized experience. For example, the photo viewer functionality in Windows Explorer actually uses if you're using it on a touch device, allow you to very intuitively use that application using gestures. So it already has some advancements in it. So that's operating system, so the basics. When we then look into building applications that use touch, we can actually distinguish, we can kind of split into what are the different levels. Well, we could, similar to maturity levels, of how well do you is your application touch enabled? How much capabilities do you actually use? And then what we see is there is what we call the good, better, and best experiences. Where good actually are applications that don't actually intercept the touch APIs that the platform provides you. It just uses the built-in, like scrolling, panning, that are offered by the operating system by default. So it uses these. And beyond that, it just has a user experience that is kind of friendly to use on a touch device. So where you actually have big buttons, where your controls are very easily manipulable with, for example, your fingers. It's very typically, standard controls are usually very small. For example, the typical example is a checkbox. Using a checkbox, a standard Windows control, checkbox control, using that on a touch device is very difficult to get it right the first time. Typically, you have to kind of push 3, 4, 5 times to get it right, to get it checked or unchecked. So that good experience, typically you have applications that go around that and have a very good user interface for touch. That's also what we call the touch-enabled applications. So good equals touch-enabled. We can take it one level further. Is the better experience or the touch-friendly applications. So we go from touch-enabled to touch-friendly. Is an application that takes advantage of the gesture APIs. So it goes beyond just the standard gestures offered by the operating system, but it allows you, for example, if you have rotation, for example, is not supported by default through the operating system. If you have rotation, that you have, for example, functionality in your application, to handle rotation of be it images, whatever it may be. So you're taking it just a step further, going beyond the standard functionality of the operating system. And then what we see as the best user experience, also what we call touch-optimized applications. So from touch-friendly, we go to touch-optimized. As you can see, our applications that are typically built from the ground up are usually not moved from an existing application that you kind of polish or tweak to run on a touch-enabled device, but rather are applications that are built from the ground up with touch in mind, where you actually build a user scenario where you know that it's going to be used on a touch-capable device. So in there, What you typically do is you capture all of the touch events that come into your application, and you handle them very specifically to accommodate your user scenario. Just to mention here, not every application fits in this. There's applications that don't really work well on a touch-enabled device. Don't try to kind of squeeze every single user scenario into a touch-enabled scenario. It does not always work. Just massive data input is very difficult to accommodate. Also, think before you start, is this something, am I creating additional value by moving to a touch-enabled application? Then diving into what types of data are being raised by the platform to my application? What's the data that I can use? What are the types of events that get raised and can be captured? So the first, the lowest level of information are the raw touch events. So whenever someone touches the screen, be it with a single finger, multi-finger, whatever, every single touch point, you get an event of where did I get this event from? What's the position of the event? What is the thickness of that touch point? That's also something to take into mind, and that depending on the hardware, some hardware does support like pressure or thickness of touch points. So where if you're using your thumb or you're using your pink, you have a different size of touch point. Yeah. So that may be useful. For example, in drawing applications, you may want to use a thicker stroke if you're using your thumb, rather than if you're using your pink, it may be a thinner stroke to draw. So raw touch, you get the full details of what happens. However, you're on your own. You have to kind of interpret. If you're looking at, for example, the zoom gesture that uses two fingers to kind of squeeze and squeeze in, squeeze out, to zoom in, zoom out. If you're using just raw touch, you have to do the interpretation of, I now have two touch points, and based on the delta of over time what's happening, I need to kind of derive that this is a zoom in or a zoom out that is happening. So this is very low level. You get all the full details. You can do whatever you want, but it does involve some work to do. So you're actually shifting complexity into your application to deal with that. In some cases, you may have to do it. Yeah. Second is what we call the gestures. I already touched on that. From the operating system level, there's a number of standard gestures that are supported. What that brings you is that recognition of if somebody touches your screen and uses some kind of predefined operation, like touch sequence, that gets interpreted and is translated into, for example, in something that your application, in a higher level API that you have, that you know that people are using a flick or are using a scroll or doing zoom in, zoom out. So you actually get higher level information. That does mean, that you get lower level of detail in your application. So there's some balance to find there. If you need gestures, if you need raw touch events, they can also be combined. So you may have to. It's not that you have to go for an all raw touch or an all gesture approach. So you can combine both of them. And then the third step is the manipulation and some add-on is the inertia functionality. What is a manipulation? It's basically it's a superset of gestures. So you get in your application, you get higher level information that something is happening, that the gesture is happening. But you get more details on, for example, well, what you actually get in, and we'll see it in some of the code samples, is you actually get a matrix in there that shows you the translation, rotation, all of the coordinates of the actual movement or operation that happened. So if you have a translation, it will show you the x and y and z coordinates and how much the translation represented. Same thing for rotation. So you get basically the good a combination of the two there. So and then what is inertia? Inertia is basically it's adding physics, some real life experience to your application. So what happens is if you do a translation, so you're moving an object. Typically, if you move an object in real life, like a mouse, and you leave it, it goes on for like a few milliseconds, but it's still moving. It doesn't stop abruptly, and inertia actually gives you that experience that it kind of if there is a movement, it kind of decelerates, it slows down just over a smart period of time. So it adds this physics to a movement operation. So it's kind of it slows down gradually as it approaches the end of the movement. Yeah. So that's inertia. You can turn it on, use it, or just decide not to use it. But it gives you that what we call the smoothness of touch. Now, here just a quick recap. Choosing the right approach, just an overview. Just if you have your application, you want it to behave as if it was prior to multi-touch. Just use the functionalities. Don't do anything with the touch APIs. Use the capabilities of the operating system of the platform. It's free, like the SQL free licenses that you got from Christoph. You get free multi-touch with your application. Now, if you want to have some rotation, translation, zooming that go beyond the operating system functionalities, so typical functionality here with rotation, if you have standard rotation supported by the operating system, will rotate around the center of the object. But rotation or the zooming. Sorry, the zooming. If you zoom in, default or the functionality of the zoom in provided to you by the platform, it zooms in from the center of the object, regardless of where you do the zoom operation. If you do it in the corner of a picture, it will zoom in starting from the center. Yeah? So if you want to have this this custom. Custom zoom in, where you actually take into account where does the gesture happen. Does it happen somewhere in the corner of my image? Does it happen in the center somewhere else? And start zooming in there, because that's typically what a user wants. Well, then you can use gestures and capture the gesture APIs events in your application. And then finally, if you want to have really fine-grained interpretation of touch interactions, you can actually you have two options. I would first go with the manipulation. It's somewhat higher level, easier to capture, because you get some gesture recognition in addition with more detailed information. Whereas as a final resort, I would go to the raw touch events, which are really in terms of effort that is needed for developing. Way higher than the other options. So here, just a quick overview of the Windows Touch gestures. This is publicly available. This overview. It's like how do you zoom in, zoom out. So it shows you graphically how those gestures work. Now we've seen the different events. Of where does the, how does the touch information bubble up to the application? Now, what are your development options? So there's first off the native applications or Win32 applications, typically developed in C++. There's a Windows SDK available to you that provides you all of the methods to capture to use actually the touch APIs. So be it the raw touch events, be it gesture, be it manipulation. Yeah. So all that you can do in native code in C++. Yeah. So you just download the Windows SDK. It comes with a whole set of libraries in addition to a whole set of sample applications. Then if we go to the managed code world, to the .NET environment. So with .NET 3.5, to the previous version, what you had is the Windows API code pack, which was basically a wrapper around the native libraries that actually wrapped the native OS unmanaged events and APIs that existed. So it just provides you with a managed layer on top of what your operating system provided you, because it was not built into the .NET framework yet. Moving on to .NET 4, we have extended the .NET framework to take multi-touch into account, added the full support for touch into the .NET framework. So you have, in terms of WPF, number of controls that support already panning, scrolling, all of that in the controls themselves without having to do anything for enabling that. So without having to write any code. Silverlight, both 3 and 4, some extensions were added in Silverlight 4. But basically you have built-in access to raw touch events. I have a couple of slides. I have a slide on Silverlight also, more details. There's options, as we said, the raw touch events are very labor-intensive in terms of coding to handle them. There are solutions available to make that work easier in Silverlight, to still have gesture support, to have that higher-level experience from a coding side available to you that built actually on top of these raw touch events. And then final option, which is the Surface toolkit. So I talked about the Surface, the big table, has this multi-touch experience. There's a toolkit provided to you that allows you, that comes with a framework, a set of controls that are really touch optimized that you can use to build your application with. And they come with a whole set of functionality that actually make your application already quite touch friendly or even go to a touch optimized experience. And you can use them not only on a Surface device, because not everyone has a touch, has a Surface device. You could probably break your back with it. It is a 150 kilogram machine. So it's actually runs on top of any Windows, I think it's from Windows Vista on. It runs on every Windows, actually, machine that is touch capable, or even touch incapable, as for example my laptop doesn't support touch, but I can still use applications that are built with the Surface toolkit. What it does, it kind of translates touch events or mouse events and interprets them. So you can use your mouse in interacting with your controls. So Silverlight. What you typically do there, as I said, we had raw touch data. In your Silverlight application, what you do, you create an event handler for the touch.framework reported event. From there on, you actually get that method gets called with every event that happens, with every touch event that happens on your application. That method will be called, and it gives you an event argument structure that provides you the details of where, what was a touch point, or what were the touch points. There could be multiple. What was the primary touch point? So the first one that got touched, the first position that got touched is the primary touch point. So you get the details of that. So we have the touch point clause that shows you what was the action that happened. Was it, did somebody touch the screen? So it down, like a mouse down event. So we have the up, when somebody raises his finger from the screen, it's an up that will be triggered. You actually move, where you actually get some delta information. and then the position of where that action happened. And then, as I said, there's some way around this raw touch data to actually get gestures into Silverlight and also get some inertia. It's actually, there's a on CodePlex, so it's open source, project that is called the multi-touch behavior, which is something you can just add to your code, and it will make it will give you that gesture support. In terms of Windows Presentation Foundation, or maybe just a quick demo, a 30-second demo. I think it's this one. So this is, for example, a sample application. It has an image. And what we've done is we've added this multi-touch behavior to that specific image. So that allows interaction using touch to that image. And there's, as you can see, this behavior has a number of attributes allowing you, for example, to rotate, to scale, to translate, so move, to make that object be capable for interaction. Just quickly run it. Shouldn't take more than 5 seconds. So here you can see multiple images where we can actually attach the behavior or detach it. Detach. Which makes this image not movable. So, but here we can actually move it and move it or rotate it. And as you can see, this is what we call the inertia. If I move it and I leave it, it just keeps moving for a while. That is something that is configurable. How long do you want that inertia to happen? So this is how easy it is, for example, to make just a basic application that shows an image to make that touch enabled in Silverlight using that behavior. Then looking at WPF, so Windows Presentation Foundation, managed code, raw touch data is a matter of subscribing to any of these events. So we have the touch down events, we have the touch move and touch up events, similar to what I mentioned in Silverlight. What you get is a touch point information showing you what was the action that happened, where did it happen, so that you can react on it. So very low level do it yourself interpretation of the touch points and how to correlate an up and a down, etc. But then, in addition to raw touch data, WPF supports manipulation and inertia. And how do you do it? So basically, user controls derived from UI element have this attribute where you can enable or disable manipulation. So without having to add kind of a behavior, you can actually enable the manipulation API. And what will happen is that as a result of setting this, a number of events will actually be triggered by the application. You will get raised when a manipulation is starting, when there is a delta, actually something is changing. Yep. And then finally, if some inertia operation is starting. There, I have a very quick sample. So what you see here is a very basic, I have a canvas, there's a rectangle, a red rectangle, and I want to enable manipulation on that specific object. And as a result, I get not these. A number of events that will get called. So I have a method that's called when a manipulation is starting. What I'm setting here is some kind of technical object here. I'm setting the container, signaling where is the manipulation, what object is it referring to. And then the more important one is I have the manipulation delta event that gets raised, and actually gives you, in this manipulation delta event arcs structure, gives you a matrix of the operation, of the translation, rotation, scaling operation that happens. So there you actually get the full details in matrix form of the operation that happened. Yeah. Which here in this example then is being used to apply a transformation to this rectangle. So here you can see this rectangle has some transformation, which is this a matrix transformation, and that is actually directly from the manipulation arguments. We're passing that same transformation. Passing that into a transformation for the rectangle. Ignore. So that's manipulation. Still, you have a matrix, you have the details, but still some work to do. There's also expression blend. Also comes with a behavior that you can add to, for example, this rectangle that will allow you to, that does automatically this transformation, this linking with this matrix transformation, capturing the events coming from the manipulation, and actually translate that into zooming, rotation, and actually translation moving operations. So what you do in expression blend, you have, for example, this rectangle, you apply this behavior to it, and immediately, without having to write a line of code, you have this touch enablement. You can translate, you can zoom, you can rotate your object. Yeah. So what we did here in this, all this goo here that you need, doing a rotation, scaling, translation, all of that you don't have to do anymore if you... Here I am in Microsoft Expression Blend. What we do here is just we have this rectangle and we can apply this behavior to it. And that will enable those three operations to happen. Can't really rotate here as I don't have a touchscreen. But that enables this functionality without having to write one single line of code. And then Surface Toolkit. Just to mention, as already mentioned, very touch-optimized controls helping you to build your application. Actually, a quick start for building applications. Comes with a framework. Framework that allows drag-and-drop touch visualizations. Because if you're building a touch application, it's very, very important to give this visual feedback that something is happening. With a keyboard or a mouse, you know that you're clicking because you have some physical feedback. Whereas on a touchscreen, well, is your application hanging? Is something happening? You need to give some visual cue to a user that something is happening, that you're really understood that he's touching your application. So be it lighting it up, making it bigger, all that comes with the Surface Toolkit. So you don't have to write any single line of code. It shows you some visual cue that there is touch happening. Comes with a set of common controls. Common controls such as buttons, checkboxes, all that. And then also some specialized controls allowing you to do some fancy UI operations. And I should have a sample here. Control box. So what you see here, a typical Surface button. So first off is how you see the visual feedback that you're touching is by this kind of trace that is behind your cursor, so you can see it, something is happening. You're clicking on the button, so again, this visual cue, it's a big button. It's very easy to touch it with a finger, get your thumb or your pink. Same thing goes for a toggle. Checkbox also quite big to touch. Also, again, this visual feedback that something is happening. Scroll also works, where you can see that a scroll bar if you have a scroll viewer, that as you touch it, it becomes bigger. Again, something to note, if you're building an application for touch, make it forgiving. So make sure that your user doesn't have to exactly pixel precise do something or it doesn't work. Give him some leeway of touching, like using this scroll bar, like moving up like a couple of centimeters, some millimeters. Again, here, what this provides you also, these controls, is you can actually touch it and move away, and it gives you this line showing where is the active touch point. So I'm still touching now, so you can still see there's that something is happening, that you're still connected to this scroll bar, and that you're touching the screen way up here. So in Canvas. And then one of the specialized controls is what we call the scatter view. Actually, a way to represent a set of items in a scattered view. They're kind of thrown on the desktop, and you can move them. They're touch-enabled, movable, rotatable by default automatically. If you have a touchscreen, you can do it. You also get this shadow. You're picking it up. You can see almost that it's physically being picked up. So it kind of moves up the screen. Yeah. So you can do that and get this. I'm just going to move to this one. These also, one of the specialized controls are what we call the library controls, library containers, actually, are a way of showing grouped items. So this one here is kind of in a bubble structure, where you have, for example, pictures, or they could be customer sheets of customers. We have a data sheet, customer name, some records from a customer or a patient or whatever you're dealing with. You can click on it, and it moves it. It's actually a stack. So this is just a control. You can throw any item in there. Here it's just a rectangle, but these could be just user controls that you've built. But that you can actually shuffle in there. You can click on the one to get it back. So you can move, you can browse through a stack of items. Here you can see the same thing, but it's made more a stack bar, what we call. So they're actually represented in a bar manner. What is nice also, so we in the Surface toolkit, there was drag and drop support. So you can actually take one from here, move it up here. All that comes for free. So like this, we can drag and drop items from one control into another. And what is also fancy, you can say, this here takes a lot of space. What we can do is just click this here, and it will collapse into this bowl-like structure. And these are also resizable. So you can make them smaller, bigger, extend them as you work with them. So they're very intuitive to work with. You can kind of move them away. So these kind of give you some possible experiences that you can introduce in your application. So here it's just with rectangles, like dummy data. But this could actually be useful line of business information that you're representing in this manner. So it just goes beyond just a list box or a grid that you're showing. Which are sometimes difficult to manipulate in a touch experience. So these are just some samples. So this is just a Surface toolkit. All these controls come for free. You can use them and run on any Windows touch-enabled device. So user experience considerations. We've touched upon some of them already. Make sure your controls are big enough that you can actually touch them. So the standard checkbox controls, very small. Think about what my colleague calls the fat finger problem. Somebody with thick fingers may have difficulty manipulating your application. Think about that. Make it forgiving. Be aware of the hardware. So touch comes in different devices. They could be these big slates, but there's also phones. There's also smaller devices, specialized devices for specific industries. Some support two touch points, others support like 100 touch points. Think about that. Make sure that your applications can deal with that. So form factor. And gestures. Well, make sure that you're using the make it intuitive. Use the common gestures as they come with the operating system. Use them in the same fashion in your application. Don't try to reinvent a new Zoom. Users won't understand that zooming all of a sudden uses four fingers. You want to have a big zoom or a small zoom, maybe. Try to stick with the common gestures as they come with the operating system, which are like zooming on an iPad is working in the same way as it does on our platform. There's some reasoning in it to make it intuitive. Try to stick that intuitivity and make it natural, all the things you're doing. And again, here is think beyond the current paradigms, like a scroll bar, for example, on a touch screen. We're moving away from that. People typically use, they just pan and scroll like this without having to see the physical scroll bar. So that's one thing. The what we call the flick gesture, where you actually can move one page to another like this. Take that into account if you have tab pages. How do you move from one tab to another? Do you do it with a flick, or do you have an explicit like taskbar? So some things to take into mind. And maybe look at the surface controls to get some inspiration or use them. You can use them as you want. And build your user experiences maybe based on those touch optimized controls. So call to action. As I mentioned, look at user scenarios that are making sense for touch. Don't try to do everything with touch. Your users won't like it. You can't do anything on such a device. Look at which tier or which type of data event are you dealing with raw events? What do you really need? You read the actual full details, but costing you more development effort, or can you live with the gestures or manipulation and the inertia that is related? And try to build something amazing. This is something we got from Apple. It needs to be amazing to attract people, to attract consumers. So make it a happy experience rather than some boring rip-off of a desktop application that is just running on a touch-enabled device.